Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another edition of From the Touchline in Seattle. I'm Todd Stauber. I'm here with Aaron Heinzen. He's looking good.
Hello.
He's looking good here in the studio. We got a great show for you. What a great week in soccer. As we talked about last week, Aaron, just a great month and a half here, a great 6 weeks that we're in the middle of, just games all over the place. I mean, I don't have enough time in my day to see all these games and work and do everything else I want to do. But we're going to talk Champions League. Draw just came out this morning for the quarterfinals. Looking at a couple good matches. We're going to talk Manchester United, Liverpool. Going to be a great game Sunday. Can't wait for that. And the rest of the Premier League's race is tightening up there. We're going to look at the MLS results from last week, look at it this weekend, and talk about a couple other things. U.S. national team, U-17 is qualified for the World Cup. Women won the All-Arve Cup.
Congrats, ladies.
Congrats, yeah. It was a great thing for them heading into the World Cup. So we're going to start Champions League, though, Heinzo. What do you think about that?
Sounds good to me.
You really didn't have a choice, but I'm going to make you feel like you did. So, you know. Let's talk Champions League, though. Let's start with Tuesday. Let's look at the week that was. Atletico, Bayer Leverkusen. Heading into that game, Leverkusen on a 1-0 lead on aggregate heading into the game in Madrid. A little deflection goal there for Atletico. It was kind of it was a tightly contested game. I mean, Leverkusen, I thought, played well. It was kind of a battle in the midfield. There wasn't a whole lot of chances, but at the end of the day, they head into overtime, extra time, head into penalties. And Fernando Torres, the Atletico child, coming back to send them through to the quarterfinals, Heinzo.
And Leverkusen were a bit unfortunate on their – well, I shouldn't say unfortunate, but they had terrible penalty kicks. Were absolutely terrible.
Well, I thought –
they missed three of them.
Both sets of penalties weren't great.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But classic Fernando Torres finishing it out. But Leverkusen missed – you can't miss three. I mean, Kiesling's one at the end just wasn't good enough. So that's got to be disappointing for the German team because, like you said, it was a very tight game. It could have gone either way, but Leverkusen, they did the job. They knew what they needed to do. It was an unlucky goal.
It was an unlucky goal because the goalkeeper, I think, would have had that standing up.
Yeah, he would have got it.
Had he not deflected that. Yeah. I mean, it was just unlucky. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you got to hand it to Diego Simeone. I mean,
he's in again.
I mean, here he is. He loses Costa. I mean, every year he loses players and he just keeps getting him back. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's definitely, I think he's a real deal now. I think everyone's pretty sure that if eventually when he does part ways from Atletico Madrid, he's only going to go up to a big club. And people are looking at him right now. There's plenty of talk about where he might go. That's a whole other story. But
yeah, but he just signed a new deal this week.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
Four-year deal.
I mean, you know, I don't know if I buy those all the time.
Yeah,
but I think
they're
trying to lock him down and add some more money. But
right. That's
a good point you make. But I'm not buying it because, well, we could talk more about that later.
Yeah, but I think one thing about Bayer Leverkusen, I'll say, I mean, they showed the quality that is coming out of the Bundesliga. I remember the Bundesliga in the 80s when Klinsmann and Rudi Völler were playing, but I mean, you know, it was one of the top leagues in the world, and I think again you're seeing that, you know, obviously Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund, but you're seeing, you know, the Schalkes and the Bayer Leverkusen. There's a lot of good teams
Wolfsburg.
In that league.
Yeah, that's excellent stuff. Leverkusen been around before.
Yeah, they have
with Balak and stuff. But
yeah,
that was great. It was unfortunate though for them that.
Yeah, a little unfortunate, but you know, kind of nice to see Fernando Torres enjoy some amount of success, which we haven't seen. It seems like since 1996 when he went to Liverpool. So, so it's good to see him find a little success there. So Atletico through. The other game Tuesday, Monaco Arsenal. Arsenal going to France, looking to erase a 3-1 aggregate lead. They were good on the night. Arsenal was good in the game, but just at the end of the day, you know, I mean, the damage was done at the Emirates, and you know, they pushed, they 2-0 on the night, 3-3 on aggregate, but they needed the other away goal, and they just couldn't push for it.
Yeah, Giroud, Ramsey getting it done. There was just a lull in the game in the second half where Arsenal were pushing and pushing, and they weren't getting the actual shots they needed. They weren't getting the clear-cut chances. And you could see Monaco was just letting the game bleed out at the very end.
Well, and Monaco known for the, you know, to be an organized group and defend well. But, God, they had a meltdown there in the second half. I mean, especially Ramsey's goal. I mean, the guy panic session just played him the ball, you know, right inside the 18.
That's the kind of the chaos that Arsenal can create and do when they are able to keep the ball and everyone gets tired and they're pressing really high.
Yeah.
But I have to say for Monaco, Carrasco, when he came in, was absolutely fantastic for Monaco. Kept the ball, kept racing down the side. It was a real concern for Arsenal's back line that he wasn't going to get away and get the goal that was going to kill him.
Yeah.
So he did an excellent job.
Well, there was certainly no concern that Berbatov was going to get away with his pace. But I thought Berbatov played well. I mean, you know, it's good to see him still playing. But the matchup of him and Mertesacker was...
was a real tight one.
Yeah, that was a real... it's like... that's a lot of pace in that area of the field right there.
Monaco got plenty of pace elsewhere in the field.
Yeah, they do.
Maybe not right there. But it was a very good game for fans of soccer, just to watch Arsenal do what they can do. And Santi Cazorla and I thought Welbeck was actually quite good, even though he couldn't quite get it in the goal, surprisingly, but he held the ball up well. And Arsenal looked sharp, but just wasn't enough. Too much damage down in London, like you said.
Yeah, it was too much damage. Arsenal got a little unfairly crushed by the media after the game. Just as the perennial team that just gets right on the verge and then just blows it every time. It's just, it's true. You know, we'll see if they can come out of the FA Cup and maybe get some kind of silverware this year. But,
got to be back again next year. This is just kind of the same story for Arsenal. Another year out of the Champions League yet again, and five times in a row now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that good enough for this team anymore?
Well,
now they got a trophy last year, first time in 9 years last year, and they have a good chance to win the FA Cup again, but it's not the kind of club they want to be after, you know, the stadium's now being paid off.
Well,
they have money.
I don't think it's a matter of what if they want to be that type of club. That's the type of club they are. When you've done it for 5 years in a row and you've been knocked out, that's just who you are. That's not any kind of aberration from the truth. That's just who you are as a club. I think that they're they're always going to be good enough to just get there, but I don't see them being good enough to push through. Not until they either get some better players in or some of these players they have get better. I just don't see it. But another English team crashed out there. We move on to Wednesday, and yet another English team, the last, crashing out. As we talked about last week in the show, we're going to have for the second time in, would that be 17 or 18 years? For the second time in 18 years, no English teams in the quarterfinals. Man City heading to Barcelona, down 2-1 on aggregate. They ran into potentially what we're looking at is the best player of all time.
Yeah, I think he's got to be. I mean, he's in the conversation, no question. Watching the game was just a lot of fun to watch. No goals. I don't know how, Neymar missed 1,000 chances. Suarez did as well. Joe Hart, hat off to him, like everyone says. It was unbelievable.
Sure.
Stopping everything. But Messi, the moves he was doing, the Megs on Milner.
Oh, classic.
It was absolutely insane. And watching Messi was it was amazing.
Well, and to see Guardiola in the stand, just sitting.
That was fun.
You know, he's just sitting amongst, like, the regular fans. And he's watching the game as a regular fan. That was pretty cool to see that. His reaction when Messi, when he megged Milner was classic. But, I think Messi's been in the topic of conversation for a long time as the best player ever, but that performance certainly helps solidify that. And, we'll talk Clasico here in a bit. He's got the chance to further that legacy here.
That's going to be
tonight. But Barca win 1-0 on the night. Barca threw 3-1 on aggregate. Here you go. You find them in the quarters.
Is this the end of Pellegrini, you think? I mean, he had a tough thing, but he's gone and lost to Burnley last Sunday, and now he's lost 1-0. They're out of the Champions League.
Yeah, it wasn't a great week
FA
for City.
No, it wasn't a great week. No. They don't look like, they slip up again this weekend, and looking at the English table, they're out of second.
Oh, yeah. So, well, and if they go Burnley last week, if they lose to West Brom this weekend with a Champions League knockout in the sandwich in the middle of that. I think it's solidified that he's gone.
And Yaya Toure subbed off again, which I think is probably the sign that he's maybe calling it a day. I'm not sure whether that was the fact they want to save him for the weekend or if he's just getting tired. But African Nations Cup just last month. So.
Yeah, who knows with Yaya Toure? You just never know.
City has some. They got some tough decisions ahead. Company just not having a good year at all.
Yeah.
Doesn't look fluid.
No.
Aguero seems to be the only thing. Silva
and Aguero are great players. I mean, I love those guys. But yeah, it could be a tough one for City. But I will say, not as tough as it's been on Borussia Dortmund this year.
Man.
Oh my gosh, Jurgen Klopp, he's got to be on suicide watch right now.
It's been a rough season. They still can get back in the Champions League.
I mean, when you think about it, though, we say it's terrible because I think after last year and really after the last few years, the expectations were very high for that group, you know? I know I personally had high expectations for them, and I think everybody did, including Klopp himself, and they just have fallen short.
Yeah.
You know, 2-1 down on aggregate. Klopp was going in saying it's the hardest – task in football to play an Italian team who doesn't need a goal, insinuating they were going to sit back and absorb the pressure, but just exactly the opposite. Tevez with 2-3-0 on the night, 5-1 aggregate, you know, Borussia Dortmund is now focusing on the Bundesliga.
Yeah, they were easily beaten by Juventus. Tevez's goal, by the way, the first 2 minutes into the game, just a smashing shot. Weidenfeller had no chance for it. And after that, you could see Juventus could relax.
Yeah,
keep the ball. The one down thing for Juventus, that Paul Pogba, of course, hamstring is out for 2 months.
Yeah.
It's a huge loss. But they didn't have Pirlo.
Right. And he's kind of moving his way back.
Yeah, he's bringing his way. He hasn't come back since he hurt his calf in the first leg against Borussia Dortmund. But Pirlo will be coming back. I mean, Morata looked fantastic. Tevez looked great. The back line was solid. They didn't really have any worries. Borussia Dortmund kept trying to play down the middle.
Yeah.
And they could not break down that back line. It's just too much experience there.
Right.
It's an Italian back line.
back four.
Arturo Vidal cleaned up everything for them. So it was a lot of possession for Borussia Dortmund, but you know, not a lot of opportunities created in the end. I mean, you're playing Juventus. Juventus on the road.
Right.
It's just, I mean, you know, just like wading through quicksand or something like that, trying to get yourself out of it. They just shut the game down. Borussia Dortmund, you know, they're going to have to rebuild maybe a little bit. A few players are going to go. Talk about Hummels going. Talk about Royce going.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what they go.
Those are the guys they kept this year, and that was the reason I thought, hey, these guys are going to have something.
Yeah.
You know?
We haven't seen Kagawa do what he was supposed to be doing. So.
I mean, it makes you think about
back to the drawing board.
Yeah. He went to United, never really factored in. You know, he did a few times here and there, but. Yeah. I love it. I love Kagawa, you know?
Yeah, he's a good player.
But
we'll see where they go from here.
Yeah, we'll see where they go from here. But I'll tell you where we're going for the quarterfinal draw. And it just came out this morning, Tuesday, April 14th, Monaco-Juventus. Got to be feeling good if you're those two sides. And then I just – unbelievable that this draw came. Atletico-Real.
That's great.
I mean, I would have liked to have seen it later. You know, obviously a rematch of the final last year.
Right.
Obviously, a Champions League derby. I mean, how much more can you ask for?
That's fantastic.
But that should be just a fantastic tie. The next – I mean, PSG and Barcelona, I'm really looking forward to that too, because as we talked about last week, this could be PSG's year. I mean, they believe it. After winning that game, after defeating Chelsea in the fashion they did, they've got to be riding high and they've got to be very confident. Although, as we talked about pre-show, no Zlatan.
Yeah, no Zlatan.
And?
No Verratti.
No Verratti. And that's going to be a tough one in Paris for the first leg. Luckily, they're in Paris.
Yeah.
Hopefully, they won't be, you know, digging themselves out of a hole when they go back to the new camp. And of course, the last quarterfinal on Wednesday, April 15th, Porto, Bayern Munich.
Excuse me, Porto, you know, they did well against Basel in the second leg.
I mean, they're an organized team.
They did well,
I'm not going to say it's going to be 7-0 like it was against Shakhtar, but, I mean, Bayern Munich, this is probably the best draw they could have received other than getting Monaco.
Yeah, so, I think so.
German
team.
You know, I think the Atletico Real tie is very special. I mean, January, Atletico destroyed Real 4-0.
Yeah.
Destroyed them.
So you've got
that weighing in. You've got last year's final weighing in. It's going to be interesting. You've got the Clásico coming this weekend. You know, that's going to play into it. You've got you got Real battling Barca for, you know, for the La Liga, and now you've got this coming up. I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Only point difference. Point difference there in the La Liga. So yeah. Barcelona in the lead. So.
Yeah. So what do you think on that? I mean, what's your any prediction on
the
that?
Clasico?
Yeah. No. On the Champions Atletico League? Real.
Well, I'm gonna based on Diego Simeone's track record, I'm gonna say Atletico Madrid.
No.
I mean, get them on the Super Cup as well. So
yeah.
I think they have the defensive abilities to do it. They have a lot of experience. You know, Juan Fran, Toke is in there, even though he's a young guy. Gavi.
And
Mandzukic up in the top. And, yeah. You know, if they want to throw on Fernando Torres, maybe he can get something.
Well, I mean, Mandzukic and Torres maybe, you know, paired. I don't know. I think Real obviously showed their defensive issues against Schalke.
Yeah.
But of course, Atletico. I mean, they're not a team that's going to score a ton of goals. So,
they'll be under pressure for that. But I think the biggest part of the whole Champions League deal there is, can Real Madrid sustain the pressure that they're always under? Can Ronaldo come back from this? Obviously, he showed he could against Schalke, getting two goals that they needed.
Yeah.
But the back line, will they be able to stand up to it? Is Sergio Ramos going to come back and be healthy and fit enough?
Yeah.
To partner again with Pepe. If they don't get their confidence back, you could see a lot of changes.
Well, I mean, I think
Ancelotti on his way out.
If you're looking at Pepe and Sergio Ramos playing center back, I think if you're Atletico, you're feeling pretty good. I mean, you might as well throw Brad Evans in there while you're at it. If I'm Atletico and I'm looking at those two playing center back, I'm feeling pretty good about my chances.
I think that you might even see that this weekend, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe Varane.
Yeah, you could.
We'll
you could. Let's talk PSG Barcelona. I mean, wow. I mean, I'll tell you what. If I'm PSG, I don't want to see Leo Messi right now with how he just played. But you know, at the same time, they obviously feeling very good about where they're at after the Chelsea tie. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a tough not having Ibrahimovic right there against the PK or Matthew.
Yeah, they didn't have him in the last game against Chelsea.
They didn't. But it's the kind of guy that you need to hold up the ball and keep it away from Barcelona if you possibly can. But
yeah.
I think they'll look to – obviously, they'll have to contain Messi, and it'll be a good one for Matuidi on Messi. But can anybody really stop him right now? No. So I it's going to be one of those where they'll have to take their chances. I'm sure Laurent Blanc will have something cooked up for them. But Barcelona at this point is not a team you're going to try and just play at the same – style as they did. It's what Man City tried to do, and we're torn to pieces.
Well, and I think the way that Marco Verratti played in that last Chelsea game, I mean, that's a huge loss for them.
Yeah, it's a big loss.
I think
so much energy and work.
In terms of activity in the midfield and just how he defended and how active he was, he got on the ball a ton. That's going to hurt, especially against Barcelona. You're going to need a presence in the midfield.
And they can press well, and they showed that against Chelsea. They can press well, and they're organized, but. Can Rabiot do the same thing that Verratti does? Rabiot, the young French kid in the midfield.
Right.
I don't know about that. Pastore is going to be huge, trying to control things in there. But again, that's such a difficult midfield with Iniesta and Rakitic and Messi coming in and picking up the ball anywhere he wants.
Yeah.
So it'll be a tough one. That's why it's such an intriguing matchup.
It really is.
Teams right now.
Well, and I think it's two teams that are playing well. And obviously we'll see what kind of momentum comes out of the Clásico this weekend for Barcelona and Real, to be honest, heading into their, game against Atletico. But I think that to me, those are two just great, fantastic matchups. I mean, I'm just excited to watch the games,
Champions League quarterfinals.
Champions League quarterfinals, what are you predicting there?
I'm going to say Barcelona beats PSG this time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm going to say Barcelona, and I'm going to say Atletico Madrid, and I'm going to say Juventus, and I'm going to say Bayern Munich.
Bayern Munich, yeah.
What about you?
I'm going to go PSG.
Oh.
I'm going to go Bayern PSG. I just feel like PSG. I just feel like.
After they beat Chelsea, they got over the hump.
Yeah,
they,
I just feel like
closer.
Mentally and emotionally, that they broke through a level that they haven't broke through before,
right.
I feel like.
Right.
I
take it the fact that against Chelsea, PSG were exceptional, and it was a Chelsea team that had a horrible start and just didn't seem to be in it. And I just don't think you're going to see that with Barcelona, and I don't think they're going to see nearly amount the ball.
Yeah,
the ball that they had in the game last week. I mean, they controlled the game a lot, even with 10 men. Like I said,
yeah, they did control.
But without Verratti, It's going to be a huge challenge. I just think the level Messi's on right now, it's going to be too much.
Yeah. I miss the thing that's factoring in for me also is, what is each team doing between now and April 15th, you know? And I think Barcelona's got more on their plate than PSG does. I think obviously the French league's a little bit of an easier task. You know, so Barcelona, they're a little bit of an aged team and, you know, I mean, they're not FTI aged, but, you know, they're a little bit of an aged team. And so, you know, we'll see. But it's going to be fantastic either way. I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
So looking forward to that. So let's move on. Let's just talk Clásico since we've been on it. Sunday at the new Camp, or is it the Camp New? What is
the new Camp?
I mean, what's the difference? I want to know.
Maybe
what is the difference? Why do some people call it the Camp New, and why do some people call it the new Camp? I mean, I don't understand it. If we have any callers that want to call in, you call in here, 760-283-0846. You can also text that answer in at 360-920-7273. We could call up our English correspondent, Andy Machen, and see if we could get that. But I think we need more of a Spanish correspondent on that.
Yeah.
We just don't have that yet on this show.
We'll get one.
Yeah, we should get one. Can you get on that next week?
I'll go.
Spanish correspondent. All right, good. Moving on to Spain, Clásico. I mean, what else can you say? You got Messi on fire right now. You have Barcelona playing well. I think you've got Real playing pretty well, to be honest. I mean, not defending well, but in terms of the attack, you know, I mean, four goals on a German team isn't really easy to do. You know, you've got – I mean, I think that the – I think that they play it down, Ronaldo and Messi, they play it down as far as the comparisons between the two of them and who's the greatest player and this and that. But you know when those two go against each other, there's something a little bit extra there for them to prove.
For sure, absolutely. It's definitely a subplot in the whole thing. I mean, they're playing for World Player of the Year again this year. And this factors into that, how they're playing for their own legacy. Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
They are.
No question about it. And I think, you know, Ronaldo's obviously the World Player of the Year right now, but the form Messi's shown in the last month is much better than his. He's said he slimmed down. Messi's cut out pizzas. That's what he's saying lately. So yeah, losing some weight, getting more fit, and maybe it shows. Maybe he had a tough year last year.
What do you mean he's losing weight? He's going to vanish.
He thought he was a little chubby last year.
He's cutting out pizzas.
Cutting out pizzas. Yeah, cutting out pizzas. So,
I should have cut out that late night pizza.
You got to watch out for those pizzas.
Yeah, sorry, Gibby.
But he's in an incredible form right now. Doing what he wants. And Real Madrid, we've seen him give them nightmares before.
Well, yeah.
So it's going to be, I think it's going to be Barcelona. I think Real Madrid are struggling with confidence, and this is the game they have to win if they're going to bounce back. I think what's even more interesting as well is, you know, it's Real Madrid. If Ancelotti doesn't win this and doesn't win the league title, then I think it's goodbye Ancelotti. I think it could see some changes. There's rumors about Ronaldo leaving.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kinds of stuff. Gareth Bale taking over from Ronaldo, which I don't buy for a second. He's got his own critics right now. Modric is back. That's a good positive.
Yeah.
Sergio Ramos will be back. I think he helps. He's a big leader on the team. Is this Iker Casillas' last Clásico?
I think so.
Funny little stat, actually. The first goal Casillas ever conceded in a Clásico was scored by none other than the old Barca coach right now. So it's pretty exciting for them.
By Luis Enrique.
Yeah, Luis Enrique.
No way.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun. What
that is a nice little piece of information you brought to the show there.
Yeah, you know, my pleasure. But it's gonna be a fascinating. I mean, obviously, and 1 point separates them at the table. Yeah. So all kinds of stuff. It's always great for
El. It is always a fascinating game. But for it to come at this point, you know, 2 days after the quarterfinal draw, where one of them gets PSG, one of them gets Atletico. I think it's just, I can't wait. I mean, Sunday morning is going to be fantastic. Yeah. I mean, we're going to be invading our English correspondent, Andy Machen's house at about 6:30 a.m. I'm sure he'll be nice and chipper as he always is, especially in the morning. He's just such a pleasant guy to be around. It's going to be really great. But
have those waffles on the griddle, mate.
Yeah, I'll take my eggs over easy But you know, it's going to be a great Sunday morning. Can't wait for that Clásico. It's just going to be a great game. So, let's talk about the other big game on Sunday morning, and let's move a little bit to the west. I guess it would be the northwest from Spain.
Yeah.
Cross the water to England, and gosh, I mean, what can you say? Liverpool United, Liverpool coming off a 1-0 win over Swansea United, coming off probably their best performance. Definitely the first half, I think, was the best they've looked all year.
Yeah.
3-0 over Tottenham. You know, Liverpool's obviously been playing very well for a while. Man United's got to feel good about how they played last week coming into this game. Steven Gerrard's last game against United, very, very tight. This game could decide fourth place, very easily could decide fourth place. You know, just it's a huge game. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, what else can you say about it, Heinzo?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, like you said, really close, 2 points separating. This is the 192nd time they've played.
Jeez, really?
Playing, so a lot of history there.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of history there. Only 192 times. I don't know how many. There's very few things I've done 192 times in my life.
Yeah, exactly. It's gonna be, you know, it's gonna be another great game. The last time they played, you know, 3-0 for United.
Mm-hmm.
I think United were a bit fortunate. I think.
Yeah, they were fortunate.
Liverpool felt the same.
Aside from the 3-0 win over Tottenham, I think United's been fortunate in every win they've had this year.
Yeah, they've been fortunate in many. Is Di Maria going to be back in the starting lineup? I think that's the question, because he was gone, obviously suspended for that game.
Yeah,
United looked pretty fluid with Mata in there.
I don't believe he's back.
We'll see.
Herrera, though, very, very key. I mean, looked very good against Tottenham. I mean,
yeah, he looked. I think he's one of the most important players for them right now, personally.
Yeah, for sure.
As far as
productivity
goes. It's going to be back three, you know. This time it's sorted out. Last time it was Glenn Johnson and Skrtel and Lovren, and this time it's going to be Skrtel and then Emre Can now, which has made the big deal for them for Liverpool at the back line.
I think Glenn Johnson's seat is last time on the field at Anfield. I don't think he's not going to stay. Yeah.
But Liverpool, I mean, another one is, you know, can they contain Coutinho?
Yeah.
Can they contain Sterling? So,
well, and here's a question. I mean, does Steven Gerrard get on the field? I mean, I know this
is
does
he get on the field? Yeah.
You think he does?
I don't know. I don't know if he starts. I don't think he does.
I don't think he starts either, but my question is, does he get on the field? I mean, if you're Brendan Rodgers, you're thinking, okay, it's his last game against United. You've got to pay some respect to that a little bit, but if he's not your guy, I mean, maybe he doesn't play, you know? He's just coming back off injury. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he gets on the field. I don't know
how. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, he plays against Swansea. He comes on against Swansea.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, by then they had the 1-0 lead, and they've been doing so well without him.
Yeah, they really have.
So things have been clicking. Yeah, it's a good question. I think he at least gets a bit of that and goes on.
Yeah.
But it is Brendan Rodgers. He's ready to move on, obviously.
Yeah, I think he's
Galaxy,
I think Steven Gerrard's ready to move on. That's why he's made the move.
Yeah.
But, it's certainly going to be interesting. I mean, really, at the end of the day, we were talking about it. 4 points separate, you know, second to fifth. So again, we're in the same situation as we were last week. You know, last week, some big games. Arsenal obviously took care of West Ham 3-0. But Burnley, you know, we talked about it earlier. Big game for them, you know, over Man City. We talked Man United, Tottenham, Chelsea, Southampton, 1-1, you know, tough one there. So now we come to this week and, you know, Chelsea's looking to hang on still. They'll be dealing with Hull City on Sunday in Man City, you know, looking to get back on track against West Bromwich Albion. Could be something there. If Chelsea falls and City wins, you know, you could be looking at those top two, maybe switching places here. But I think those two are fairly safe, maybe, from the rest of the group. Although, you know, Arsenal, big game against Newcastle, you could see them maybe sneak in there and start sneaking up on Manchester City. You know, other game, Tottenham, Leicester. Tottenham trying to sneak back in the top six. Southampton playing Burnley. You know, them and those guys in Southampton. Interesting with those two. You've got Southampton playing Burnley, a team trying to jump out of the relegation zone. And you got Tottenham, you know, Leicester maybe on their last leg here with this weekend. They need a result, Leicester. I think they're down.
Yeah, I think we've seen from Tottenham last week that they're not going to make the top four. I don't think it's enough. They got annihilated by United. They're 6 points behind them, not that much. But that's two wins that much further off, and I think Spurs have shown that they're just not quite there yet.
Yeah.
Once again, Southampton, another possibility. They showed great against Chelsea. 1-1 performance in the first half. Southampton were all over them. Chelsea's shown a little bit of the fatigue, I think. But
yeah,
Southampton did very well. Arsenal against Newcastle United. I mean, that's Newcastle. You just do not know who's going to show up for that team. They have all kinds of injuries. I think that's going to be a guaranteed win for the Gunners, even though it is at Newcastle.
Yeah.
So my pick, though, Spurs are going to beat Leicester. I think Leicester. I think you're right. I think Leicester are done.
Yeah.
I think they're going to go down. Southampton's a tough one against Burnley. Mm-hmm. They're coming there. They're in the City position, also in the relegation zone. They're just coming off beating City 1-0.
Yeah, and Burnley's, you know, Burnley's sitting there at 25. I mean, they're 1 point out. Sunderland's right there.
Sunderland, by the way, new coach.
Yeah, let's talk Sunderland a little bit. Gus Poyet sacked.
Yeah.
And Dick Advocate has been brought back from the dead, apparently. I didn't even know he was still alive.
Dick Advocate, yeah. Back in.
After serving in World War One, Dick Advocate has now come back to coach.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he can turn things around for them because it's looking pretty brutal.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have much time to do it.
Yeah.
So,
tough loss against Villa.
Interesting to see him back in the fold, though.
I think it's exciting. I mean, they had to make a bold move, and Poyet just wasn't getting it done anymore. It was time for them to move on.
He's brought on Moses as his goalkeeper coach and Jesus himself as his assistant coach. He's just bringing back some guys back from the day where he used to hang out with, you know. So, should be interesting to see if Sunderland can pull out, but you know, it's going to be a great weekend again in the Premier League. I mean, it's just one game after another. I mean, they're just one big game after another. It's just fantastic. I just can't wait for Sunday. It's just going to be amazing.
Do you think the top four is going to finish like it is right now? Chelsea, Man City, Arsenal, Manchester United, with Liverpool, Southampton sitting in the Europa League spots.
No,
where's your top four?
I think Arsenal is going to complete their meltdown, and Liverpool. I think Liverpool is going to jump United into third. I think it'll be Chelsea, City, Liverpool, United, Arsenal fifth.
Wow! First time in years.
Yeah, that's what
Arsenal
I think.
Arsenal out of the top four, huh?
That's what I think.
Yeah, I think Arsenal are looking pretty good right now. I think it's going to go Chelsea are going to win the title. I think that's pretty much a given. They still have a game in hand. I think you're going to see City lose second place. I think United are going to get it. If they win this weekend, they will get it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they still have a lot to do. They still have to play Arsenal. They still have to play Chelsea.
Yeah.
So, but I think United are going to do it. I think City are going to hang in there. And I think it's going to be Liverpool as well. I'm on the same boat as you. I think Arsenal will. Or it could be City falling out of the top four. That's a possibility.
Well, you know, we've talked about this. I mean, the great thing about this is you get to see Arsenal meltdown two separate times. To see Arsene Wenger's soul be defeated on two separate occasions in one season, I mean, usually you have to wait a full 2 years to see that, or you get to see it in 1 year.
We'll see. I mean, I think their meltdown was Monaco, obviously, at home. And I think after that, they've kind of regrouped and said, we have to do this huge win at Old Trafford over Manchester United. Quite a few mistakes. Great game against Monaco, even though they couldn't get it done, but they completely dominated that game. They showed real well against West Ham. I think Arsenal, they're running in the confidence, I should say, right now, running in confidence. And you know, I think they're going to beat Newcastle United easily. That's what I think.
I think it's just fantastic. I mean, I just want to see it all play out. You know, it's just great. It's just like sitting back and just.
We'll be here watching it.
Oh yeah. Well, we're gonna be sitting at our English correspondent's house watching it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think he's listening right now. I hope that breakfast is good, Mitch. Over easy on the eggs. Let's move on to the FA Cup. Not a whole lot to talk about. Bradford City. It was so close.
Sorry to see him go. Yeah. Tough one, Reading.
Reading 3-0. Bradford 3-0. City, they can now concentrate on League One.
Yeah, League One. League One's what I meant.
League One. Half their players can concentrate on their jobs in the factory that they have during the day before they go to training at night.
It's always nice to see players get an opportunity.
Fantastic. So we'll have Reading, Arsenal, and then, of course, Liverpool and Blackburn April 8th. The winner of that will get the Villa. Mm-hmm. Well, Tim Sherwood. What a little resurgence for Villa under Tim Sherwood, though.
Well, that was also the end of Poyet's job after this last weekend when Villa smashed Sunderland 4-0.
They're
on. He's got guys scoring goals once again.
Well, so. I mean, you got Benteke and Ogbonnahor.
Yeah, Ogbonnahor. I mean, Villa, they're back. So, tip your hat to Sherwood.
Hat to him. I can't stand him, and watching him on the sidelines makes me want to vomit. But I will say that, I mean, he did a good job at Tottenham when he was the caretaker manager.
Yeah.
And he's done well. I mean, they're I would say they're not safe. Obviously, they're only 3 points clear of the zone, but they're in a lot better situation than they were a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they're on their way. Yeah, no question.
And I mean, he's got him in a semifinal of you know, looking at silverware potentially. So,
right.
You know, hats off to him. Right. So should be good. God, we're moving right along here, man.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, we really are.
One thing we didn't get a chance to talk about is Everton going out of the Europa League.
Yeah, we let's
destroyed by. Kiev.
They were destroyed by Dynamo Kiev. I mean, that was like a Russian mafia job there in the back alley.
Huge win for it's tough to go there. It's tough to play, but Everton have just
Roberto Martinez. I mean, Everton sitting 14th.
I mean, they only have 31 points. The pressure's on them. I think just as much as it's on. Well, maybe not quite as much as it was on Villa, but that's still. It's a different Everton team that we've seen, and I can't believe they've struggled that much this year. But well, it's unusual to see Roberto Martinez.
Yeah, I mean Roberto Martinez. That's what I was going to say. After the World Cup, you know, he was on the TV here in the States, all World Cup, and listening to him, you know, I thought he gave great insight into the games of the World Cup, and I was thinking, God, this guy's going to do fantastic at Everton. I'm really looking forward to it. But I will say this: Tim Howard has dropped off at Everton.
Yeah, he has dropped
off, and I think. After the World Cup, I think he was tired and maybe mentally tired.
Right.
He's had a huge drop off, and that's had an effect, I think, on them. And you know, just I don't know. You know, Everton's always been a team that's really overachieved. Mm-hmm. It's a little disappointing because I thought Martinez was going to do much better. But gosh, talk about crashing out of the Europa League.
I mean, they got the farthest, I suppose, than any other English team, but.
Yeah.
Still, you know, tough loss to see them out.
So, I mean, are we talking right now? Or are you telling me we have no English teams left in Europa League and no English teams left in the Champions League?
No one's left. No one left.
I mean, we talked about it last week, but is the Premier League, is the season too grueling?
I think that can come into play. It's also faster. It's a faster league. I think that takes a toll on players. You hear talk about how things are slower in the league in France and Spain, and the pace is definitely slower in Italy. Players are more technical. You know, there isn't the aggressive behavior, isn't as valued as it is in England.
Yeah.
These are all people speculating these kinds of things, but I think all these other leagues get midwinter breaks.
Right.
I think that all comes down to it. There's also a talk about how the English players aren't as technically gifted, and I think that is a definite thing you can notice, especially just taking the in case in point, in the World Cup. I mean, they're just not as technically good as they are in Spain, in France.
Yeah, but you can't really compare the World Cup because you don't really have English players playing in the Premier League. It's a lot
true.
Of players.
You're right. You're right about that. I think it does have a bearing on the actual league.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other, maybe not in the big huge teams, but there's a lot of English players in other. And you have little teams like Espanyol or Sevilla winning these Europa League.
Right.
Benfica, those are all Portuguese players. Those are all Spanish players for the most part.
Yeah, you're right.
And they're still, they have budgets that are about the size of
an Everton or
or even a Swansea, and they're still winning in Europe, whereas you know no one's getting even close in the Premier League. So I think that has something to do with it. But you know, those are the reports that I've read. I think the winter break is, but England, everyone values, and that's part of the reason why the league is so popular. Is you know it's played over Christmas time. It's the only thing that's going on. Obviously, it has a huge market value here in the United States. So that's a big advantage for England because they speak English, so everyone's watching it. So I think that's probably one of the biggest parts.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's disappointing.
It's tough for them, and they're looking into it, you know, no question.
Yeah.
So they know they want to change. You can't be the best league in the world and then be continually knocked out of the round of 16 in the Champions League or Europa League getting blasted by, you know, a lot of Eastern European teams, which, you know, those teams as well, very technical.
Right, well, and, you know, it's a tough one because, you know, we talk about these teams, the Chelsea's, the Cities, you know, Arsenal, United, Liverpool, and these teams that are supposed to be the top teams. But at the end of the day, they're not doing it against the PSGs and the Barcelonas and the Real Madrids. I mean, and the Bayern Munichs, they're not. And I think things have shifted a little bit in the last couple of years, you know, where, you know, you were seeing Chelsea in the finals, United in the finals, you know, you were seeing this on a City in the final on a consistent basis. And, you know, now you're not even, they're not even in the quarterfinals. So, you know, times are changing a little bit.
That's good. The way direction of the game is going. So
I think it's good.
Got to be technical. Yeah, it's definitely good. I think Spanish and the Germans are leading the way for the most part. Obviously, PSG's got some money. Monaco's got some money, but
right.
It's England are going to have to look at it. I think they're going to have to look at getting more coaches involved and.
Well, they
know,
got
kind of maybe the style of play will always kind of be there.
What do you mean? They just brought in Dick Advocate. Come on, they
brought more youth coaches, more coaches.
He's literally come down from heaven because he's been dead for 14 years.
Returning to safe Sunderland.
He was born in 1932. Okay, so we're going to move on. Let's come stateside here. And we'll finish up. We'll go stateside MLS and then finish up with some U.S. National team news. We're gonna start with the MLS here in Seattle. Unfortunately, we're gonna talk about Brad Evans and just an absolute shocker and just an absolute nightmare. I feel bad for Brad Evans. He's a good player. He's been a good player for the Sounders, and he's done some great things for our national team in qualifying. He's been placed as a center back in Siggy Schmidt's lineup here in Seattle. And I mean, to be dead honest, you know, Seattle loses 3-2 to San Jose, a game they shouldn't lose. And really all three goals are a direct result of Brad Evans. And it's not very often you can say any one goal is a direct result of one player, because there's so many other factors that come into, you know, a ball was lost in midfield, you know, whatever that may be. But, I mean, really, they were all three on him. I don't know what else to say, Hans.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It was one of those where you wish, I mean, if he wasn't the captain, he's off instantly. He's going to be off after the second goal, I think.
Well, and,
but, I mean, he's being the captain and being the team leader, I guess, you know, they wanted to keep him on there. Coach Brian Schmetzer at the time is filling in for Ziggy,
right,
the way at his son's wedding. Decided to keep him on there, and I thought after the second goal, especially after that, the header, it just wasn't his night.
Yeah,
just,
well,
just everything was going wrong for him.
But I don't disagree with Schmetzer's choice there, because as the captain, I mean, long term, when you think about the group long term, when you think the whole year, I think you've got to leave him on there and show the team the confidence in your captain. But I will say this, Evans,
and
I've always thought this of Evans, when something goes bad for him in a game, you can see he loses his confidence quickly, you know, which is surprising because he's played, I mean, he's played in a lot of big games and he's been in a lot of situations. So it's surprising to see that. But I mean, I didn't see the game live. I watched the replay, but you could just see his confidence just shatter.
Yeah, it went down. He started to have poor touches and maybe make rushing indecisions. That last goal that he gave up to San Jose when he just slid right by. That was a tough one. But like, I mean, that was a defensive mistake. You just don't see
people rushing in
like that.
You know, if you think about Siggy's choice to put Brad there, it's there. Obviously, you want a guy that you think you can pair him with Chad Marshall, a guy that can play out of the back, which I agree. I mean, he's a midfield player by trade.
Yeah.
You know, he's been kind of, he was reinvented as a right back, you know, through U.S. national team qualifying and, a little bit last year when DeAndre Yedlin was gone for the World Cup. Now he's been slotted in at center back. You know, he saw some time as a right-sided midfield player when he was moved out of the center of midfield for the Sounders. I feel like Siggy's just trying to make a spot for him.
Right.
But my question is, okay, you clearly don't want to play Zach Scott there.
Right.
But Zach Scott had a great year last year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a great choice.
Well, maybe
if you're looking for something else,
maybe
he's
not the kind of guy like Evans that can play out of pressure, you know, maybe as a soccer player, he's not as clean technically. He's not as clean technically, but you know, I think you got to be asking questions right now. I heard a rumor this week, Seattle shopping for a center back. My question is, when that happens, now where does Brad Evans go? You know, do you move Lamar Nagel out? Do you move Marco Papa out of a wide midfield spot just to fit him in?
Yeah,
I have a tough time doing that. But Brad Evans is Siggy's boy. Brad Evans has never played for another coach professionally.
Yeah.
He's only played for Siggy. And, you know, he's the captain. You got to think Siggy's going to – he's going to shift something around and make sure Evans is in the starting 11. I don't know if I agree with that, but I think that's what you're going to see. I think you're going to see somebody come out of the lineup. Is it Mears? Does Evans go to right back? Is it Leo Gonzalez? Does he come out?
Right.
Do they keep him at center back? I don't see how they can keep him at center back after that performance.
No, I totally agree. That's right on to it. I think Mears is hurt now anyways with that little hamstring thing. So if there's a next game that shows up, Seattle not playing this weekend, the next game they do play, does Evans go out and take, maybe Zach Scott fills in for that spot and Evans gets his confidence back at right back? I got to think that's what's going to happen. unless they do find a center back before then. But yeah, it's a good question. You know, we'll see. But it was a shame to see Seattle lose that game that they scored 16 seconds into the game out of the bat on a great.
Yeah,
great
I mean, I
shot.
Wasn't there, but I was checking it on my phone. In. I had to text you just to see, like, did Dempsey really just score
Dempsey,
in the first minute?
Right in there instantly, right away. And you thought, oh, this is going to be, here we go, New England, right off the win over New England, and they're right back in it. And then
here comes Wando.
San Jose kind of slowed things down, and that cross came in, and Nevins missed the header, and then Wando just finished it perfectly. Chris Wondolowski, he was quality.
Yeah,
during the game when he got his chances, he finished them.
Yeah, any chance he could have done that against Belgium this summer, or now he's going to score goals against the Sounders, but you couldn't score against Belgium when you were inside of the goal.
Yeah,
you were
exactly.
In the goal and you somehow kicked it. You played it out of.
That was brutal.
Oh God.
I got to say, goalkeeper for San Jose, Bingham was fantastic at the end, though. I mean, they were all over him when they went down. San Jose went down. You know, they got a red card 52nd minute. Sounders were all over them. Bingham had some great saves. So.
Well,
nice.
I mean,
hope Semi Martin scores. So they at least they're getting goals, but it was
they are getting goals, but
giving up those.
If your center back is, you know, if your center back is gifting three goals away,
you can't
it's
win.
It's never going to go well. I don't think it's a tough one. I mean, listen, I'm still calling for the FTI transfer of Aaron Hines into the Seattle Sounders for Brad Evans.
Oh yeah, I'll get my Walker out.
Evans
out
is over 30 now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just getting close.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, you look good again this last week. Great performance from Hines, and it's back after that.
Yeah,
look at it. Well, let's move on. I don't want to crush Brad Evans anymore because I
wish him luck.
Just hope he rebounds from it and gets his confidence back. You know, Portland, LA Galaxy. This is just great. I wish I could have seen a video of the Portland fans' souls being defeated in the 94th minute from their former player, Alan Gordon. But LA, Portland gets a 90th minute winner, apparently, they think. And LA comes back, Alan Gordon in the 94th, 2-2. Portland obviously thought they had sorted out themselves in the back with Nat Borchers, but it doesn't look like it.
Yeah, no, Zardes gets his first goal for LA as well. It's a great little goal.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see Timbers get some goals. Adi finally breaking through with two of them. They did well getting them on the counterattack. Portland are fast coming out on the counterattack, but they just can't quite put it together completely in the back. Classic Alan Gordon to score loads of goals for the Timbers back when he was there years ago.
Yeah, that's a guy you used to, Hines, and you used to play with him.
Yeah,
he used
to play with him. Yeah, he scored all the time. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But I played against him, too, in college. He's at Oregon State.
Oh, right.
Just came out of nowhere. I'm like, who is this guy?
Right.
Great player, though, but using his head. Smart guy. Great finish for Alan Gordon.
Yeah. And, of course, LA Galaxy. LA, that was huge for them. LA Galaxy must have been tuning into the show when I said that they weren't going to start playing until August. And I've got a bet. Right. I've got a bet with Andy Machen, our English correspondent, that they'll be seventh or lower by August 1st. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose that bet. So,
yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, LA. Anything else you want to do to prove me wrong? Yeah, great. Over in the Eastern Conference, just a couple of couple big wins for our two expansion teams. Again, Orlando City 1-0 over Houston, New York City FC in their first home game. 2-0 went over New England, and a great goal by David Villa, just showing the quality that he's bringing to the MLS.
Yeah, it was fantastic run, classic, times it perfectly, just breaks into the inside from the left part of the field, left side, left flank, whatever you want to call it. It's perfect finish, David Villa. Great to see 43,000 people there in New York City. And, they get the win. New England's still having big-time defensive troubles, but they need Jermaine Jones back.
Jermaine Jones.
The win was there, but, it's not the same with Jones. So, Saunders also, Josh Saunders, New York City goalkeeper, had a great save, unbelievable save on Agudelo's header.
Right.
So, he came up huge.
And that was, of course, the week after his head got kicked in.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So it's, Patrick Mullins got one too for New York at the very end. Mm-hmm. It's like his first touch of, he comes, gets subbed on. I think it was literally his first touch.
Yeah, of course.
But huge win for New York. Nice that they get a home win. Sorry, it was at the expense of New England.
Well, and now you're sitting here, top two spots in the Eastern Conference. Orlando City and New York City FC. I mean, it's early, obviously, but if you're those two, you're going to take your points where you can get them, and you got to feel pretty good about that. Coming up this weekend, Orlando City at home against Vancouver. They're going to have that Citrus Bowl rocking again, 62,000 in there.
Yeah.
And you know, Vancouver has not looked good. That's a that's I mean, they could extend that lead. New York City is on the road to Colorado, but Colorado, a team also struggling.
Yeah, they only had two shots in their game. They didn't play last week. They only had two shots against Philadelphia the whole time. Yeah, so they are struggling.
And I think Pablo Mastroni took one of those from the sidelines as their coach. So, yeah, I mean, so they've got a chance to really to push that Eastern Conference lead up. You know, another kind of classico Eastern Conference tie coming up on Sunday. New York Red Bull, DC United, a couple old school Eastern Conference teams.
Yeah, first game of the Atlantic Cup.
Yeah,
should be good.
Going at each other. So that should be good. This week DC coming up in the Western Conference, you got FC Dallas sitting at the top, and they're going to be away at Philadelphia tonight. Mm-hmm. And a chance for them to, you know, they've taken all 6 points from their games. You know, they've got a chance to extend that lead a little bit. So,
yeah, love Perez. Scoring goals like mad right now. So Dallas are looking good.
Yeah,
they beat San Jose actually 1-0. It was a really tight game, and he got one at the very end. But yeah, they're the team to beat right now. Dallas, they're heating up. So.
Well, and we talked about them in our MLS preview that they, you know, they have a very young team, great coach in Perea, and you know, I think it's a group that, you know, it's obviously they're a group to be looked at. You know, the Sounders took them out in the playoffs last year, but it wasn't an easy task for the Seattle Sounders. And I think that FC Dallas is back this year, looking very good. So
Philadelphia, you know, they need some help.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be a tough game for them. I want to speak though, real quick about Orlando and the Orlando Houston game. I don't know if you saw that the goalkeeper for Houston, Tyler Carrick, fantastic game, and saved a huge one on Kaká.
Right. That great save on that free kick.
Great. But then in the end, Orlando get their goal through Garrick, who falls play back to him, doesn't clear it out. It's blocked by the forward, and then he goes to punch it away, and Garrick punches it right into the Houston goal.
Yeah, it was
goal.
Shocking. I mean, I thought it was.
And Ribeiro just putting a little pressure on him.
Well, let's go again.
So Orlando,
where we set the bar. Worse or better than Ben Foster?
I think Garrick's is worse. Ben Foster was bad on his decision to come out in injury time, but I think Garrick's punching the ball into the goal and actually letting Ribeiro get that close to him. I'm going to say that one's worse.
Yeah,
it was worse.
Yeah,
it could lose the game as well. And you know, Ben Foster also.
Well, let's go back a couple years though in Sounders history when our good friend and fantastic human being Roger Levesque, national TV, picked off the New York Red Bull goalkeeper, scored and did his famous scuba dive celebration. What about that? Would you compare it? I mean, that was a similar goal.
Yeah.
You know, would you say worse or better than that?
I think it was a great effort on Raj to get that ball. I think that's. I think Garrick's is worse.
Okay.
It's really, he had all the time in the world, doesn't take it, has a poor first touch. Ribeiro gets right in his face. He hits it off Ribeiro.
Yeah, I think
he still has a chance to punch it away, and instead punches it into the goal.
I think the end result
right.
is so humiliating when you're actually picking yourself up out of the net and having to like undo your glove that's stuck in the net.
Right. But I think the bigger, also another story about it though, is Orlando, they've only scored two goals. First one from Kaká, which is a deflection off the wall against New York City FC beating Josh Saunders.
Yeah.
That was their only goal that they've actually had come off the foot of an Orlando player.
Right.
Basically. So, I mean, two goals, you know, they haven't done anything where an actual game where they've scored goals. So I think Orlando's got to be they've gotten some lucky breaks.
Yeah, they have got some lucky breaks. I think when I'm looking at the two, I mean New York City FC, I'd say a little.
They're looking like the better team.
Yeah, and I mean they don't even have Lampard yet.
Yeah, they don't have Lampard.
Yeah, so I just got a text from Roger Levesque here saying he hearts us. So thanks, Raj. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Raj.
Yeah, he's listening in down there at Sounders headquarters, getting ready. Let's move on. One more thing. Let's mention Montreal up 2-0 on aggregate over the Costa Rican side. I'm going to try to say this. Alajuelense.
That sounds about right.
Did it sound right?
Yeah.
Good. All right. Yeah. Rosetta Stone. Thanks. And second leg coming up April 8th could be the first Canadian side to ever make a CONCACAF Champions League final. That would, you know, good for them.
Good luck to them. Costa Rica always so hard to play there.
Yeah.
So very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah,
there's two Costa Rican teams actually in there, Club America.
Well, and yeah, it
well,
definitely.
America,
yeah, and
Mexico,
so you're looking at another Costa Rican side, Herediano, a 3-0 first leg lead heading into Mexico on April 7th. against Club America. Could have an all Costa Rican CONCACAF Champions League. Who would have thought?
Yeah. No, I think good teams. Very tough to play down there.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So I.
Well, good for them.
I saw the game. Herediano were all over Club America, so it was good. Good win for them. Some great goal score.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, I mean, I think Montreal. That's good for them. I mean, they haven't really been. They haven't really had much success in the MLS.
Yeah, in the MLS, yeah.
So
that's a tough tournament.
Yeah, but Frankie Klopas is up there, coach. So good for him. You know,
yeah, he was suspended actually for this last game, so he wasn't there.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, he's got a team. He knows.
Yeah.
He's got him organized.
Yeah, definitely. Let's move on. Just a couple of few things. U.S. national teams. U.S. women won the Algarve. Is it Algarve? How do you say that? Algarve?
I say Algarve. Algarve. Yeah. Algarve. That's right.
I need an answer on that, and I also need an answer on the new camp or Camp Nou. What is the difference?
Camp Nou.
Okay. You got to get the Spanish correspondent. So anyways, U.S. women win that. You know, things looking good. Hope Solo saves a penalty in the final.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, it's good for her. Obviously, she's been through a lot of personal turmoil in the last few months. So good for her to get that and get some confidence going into the World Cup up in Canada here this summer. So good for them. U.S. U-17 boys outlast Jamaica 5-4 in penalties to qualify for the World Cup this summer.
Great, well done, boys.
Great news for them. Yeah, great. Yeah, well done. So that's good. Also, the USA this week, Denmark, Wednesday in Denmark. You know,
be a good match.
Yeah, you know, a lot of European guys in for that. You know, guys, Aaron Johansson, these kinds of guys are going to get some minutes. And
who do you think is going to start in keeper there? You think it's going to be Howard or Guzan? Howard, based on his recent play,
I would say you go Guzan.
Yeah.
I would say you give Guzan this game. I mean, I think looking to the next World Cup and looking through qualifying, I think Guzan's going to be your guy.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, I think you get him as many games as you can right now.
Think about it, Tim, at the Gold Cup this summer kind of thing.
But I think Tim maybe, you know, I mean, I think Tim could be a good backup going into the next World Cup.
Yeah.
You know, a guy, he's going to be good in the locker room. He's got a great experienced guy. You know, but I don't know if he's in 4 years, you know, if he's going to be
right.
A guy that's going to be our top goalkeeper at that point, you know.
And Brad Friedel still is at Spurs, so you could always bring him out of retirement.
Jeez, yeah. Yeah, let's have Dick Advocate come out as well, and maybe we can get him to play.
I'd take Friedel any day. So.
Over Dick Advocate?
Yes. I think he's so good. Friedel is great goalie.
Oh, he was a great goalie. Gosh, yeah, I remember
I think he still has.
I stood next to him one time, and I mean, I'm a midget, but he is massive. I mean, his arms, I'm 5'8", his arms are 5'8". I mean, it's unbelievable, his wingspan. I mean, it's just...
Did you shake his hand? Did it completely cover your hand?
No, he would have. If I went to shake his hand, he would have just been picking me up and shaking me, just picking me up like a little figurine, basically. But yeah, he's a big boy, that guy. But USA. I mean, you know, I think Klinsmann's struggling a little bit right now, trying to find the group that he's going to go with. For this next round of qualifying and the next cycle of the next World Cup cycle, because you've got some guys, you know, a Dempsey, you've got these guys, you know, even a Michael Bradley that are going to be getting towards the end of their, you know, their international careers. And you got some guys, you know, some guys coming through that I don't think are big time guys. The young guys aren't big time proven guys. You don't have anybody.
Right.
So it's a matter of getting those guys, you know, as much experience as you can. So.
Yeah, well, like you said, Johansson, I mean, I think Zardes is pretty exciting, mm-hmm. possibility coming out of LA. He looked really good. It was against Panama, but all the same, I think he's getting he's learning a lot down in LA, especially with Robbie Keane.
Yeah.
Telling him what's going on. I think he's an exciting possibility.
Yeah, I do. I think there's a lot of young players.
Or being a national team coach.
When you talk about all these young players that we're going to talk about, a mixed discroot, all these Aaron Johansson, you're talking about guys that don't have a lot of experience. Yeah, they got the experience this summer, the World Cup, and that was invaluable. But in terms of, you know, playing multiple qualifiers and going through a couple of cycles, they just don't have it. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah. Gold Cup, good test. Good test.
Yeah, it will be a good test, the Gold Cup this summer. So wind it down here. Aaron Hines in tomorrow. He's got his first broadcast with the Sounders S2. Looking forward to that. I'll be there at the game with my U13 boys. They're playing Sacramento Republic.
Nice.
Who's coached by the legendary Preki.
Yes. Preki and Ezra, too, have a long time as a Hendrickson.
Yeah, Ezra Hendrickson. So looking forward to hearing you on the air tomorrow night. I'm going to be a little jealous. You're cheating on me, but, you know, I'll get over it.
Well, looking forward to it. It should be fun.
Yeah. I'm going to go up in the studio and...
Yeah, my partner Nathan Murphy should be a good time.
Yeah, it should be great.
Looking forward to it.
Should be really good. So, looking forward to that. But great show. You know, as always, just enjoyed it, Heinzen. Just enjoyed it. Thanks to all the listeners. Good hello to our English correspondent Andy Machen, and we're signing out. And we'll be back with you next Friday morning here in Seattle.